Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 142. Really exciting episode today. There's been some massive news. We're filming a little bit later in the week, so luckily we're filming the day after all this Grand Slam track action came out. And we have the man, the myth himself, Kyle Membrane, joining us. He's an employee. I don't know how many people work for Michael Johnson's company, but Kyle was seemingly the first big hire.
Yeah.
So he's going to join and explain how it's working to us, and we're going to probably ask him some questions that he's not allowed to answer. Going to be some great back and forth. I'm very excited to...
We're going
to
grill him.
Yeah. I don't think he's probably allowed to say anything beyond what... He's definitely not allowed to say anything beyond what like Michael Johnson has said. So, but we're coming at it from a distance runner's perspective, and he's a distance runner. So hopefully we can connect on some questions we have. And I mean, overall, we're pretty hyped. Like overall, very positive. But we just have some questions about some little things. So... Very excited for that. And then also this week is the first week of USA's. Just starts in 2 days, Friday. We should just shout out all our teammates, right?
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, just so it doesn't get lost in the episode. But pretty cool. All our current teammates are competing in the first half. Our new teammate, Olivia, women's steeple, she's towards the end. So, actually, she's right in the middle, sorry.
I think she's right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
I don't think we've even mentioned those guys.
Well, this is the episode to mention.
Is it actually? Have we not filmed since
this
then?
Is it.
Felt like longer ago.
Because Owen just posted those stories and that was...
Because last Saturday they raced. Yeah. So we could have...
You're right.
Yeah, it would have been too early to mention it last week.
They posted the story of announcing them on the team like a couple of days ago. So like...
Well, shout out to Kai Robinson, Maya Ramsden, and Olivia. Markovic?
Yeah.
Markovic, maybe.
Markovic. Yeah.
There's a lot of Zids and Ks and... Crazy noises. But our three current teammates are all on day one, which is actually very convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which just means that day one is freaking stacked.
Stick. Yeah.
Just front loading USAs. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's first.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's top heavy like Gus, baby.
That's going to be great. I want to say maybe Yared, first round of 1500. I feel like 1500 is always early.
Got no clue.
Yared's got to work out before the 15, though. He's doing 8 by mile at 4:30s, and then he's got the 15, and then I think Dathan's got him doing a 600 breakdown after the heat.
So, after?
Yeah.
Sage, first round of the 8. Josette, first round of the 5K. All on day one. So no finals for our teammates, but the 10K men's final is first day as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the men's steeple is on day one.
Wow.
First round.
I didn't know that. So
it's loaded.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then Olivia, I think Olivia starts on
the Monday.
Monday, which is when the finals of the other three people are.
Yeah. So, they're all start on Monday, finals on Friday for Mario, Yared, and Sage. That is, and then
Mario.
Sorry, Yared. What did I say?
Mario.
Who did I miss? Josette.
Said Mario, Yared, and Sage.
My bad.
Mario is a U.S. citizen, actually. He's racing.
Surprise
guest.
Yeah, and once we kick Membrane off the pod, we will do a little... is it a draft? It's not really a draft.
It's a competition.
It's more just a prediction competition. More just a pick. A competition picks. Which I don't know if we've decided on how we're going to score it. But we'll just do the picks first.
It's like a points-based system. So many websites do this, so we're just going to copy one of those, but we're just doing it exclusively for the 800 to the 10K, our top three picks in each event at the USA's. We're going to give our picks, and...
Is steeple involved in that?
Yeah, including the steeple. Yeah, we're going to give our picks, and it'll be a competition between us and then any of you guys that want to join in that as well, of course. Hopefully we have a way for there to be like a proper scoring sheet for it, and we can have a nice little contest. But yeah, shout out to our teammates. I don't know if we've explained it very well. So they compete on Friday, heats... And then Saturday, Sunday is semis, and I'm not sure which order it is. Is it Sage? Is it Yared? Is Friday, Saturday?
Yeah. Yared's Friday, Saturday, Monday.
Sage?
Friday, Sunday, Monday.
Okay.
Josette, just Friday, Monday.
Okay.
I believe. Pretty sure I've got that right.
So that's going to be a really fun and stressful few days for us as teammates. probably not as stressful as it will be for Dathan, our man on the ground. He'll be probably not getting any sleep.
I just can't believe that people go to Eugene for like 12 days.
Yeah.
If you're either, I guess if you're an athlete doubling or if you're a coach or like media people, are just there the entire time.
Very draining. Very draining.
That's the...
I tell you what, it's going to be great for Farmers Union. Great business. Although, when we were there for pre even, I noticed some locals being quite pissed off about the lines.
Really?
At the local coffee shop, yeah, they were very upset. And one of the ladies said, well, hopefully this will be the last time we have such big lines at the coffee shop. And I was like, really wanted to say,
wait.
Hey, have you heard of the USA?
Do they still use the graduate?
Only for the staff. The staff deserve the best. So the staff stay at the graduate, and then I think some of the top-tier athletes for USATF stay at the graduate too. But there is a second hotel that you can stay at. I think Yared has the option of that hotel, but he's probably going to stay with On, who have a nice Airbnb with a hot tub and a stay in masseuse.
A what?
How many of those three statements were true?
Guess. The hot tub is true.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, and they have a treatment person staying there as well.
Yeah, Jason is staying there.
I guess all of them.
I guess all of it's true, but Jason's not a masseuse.
No.
True.
Disservice.
That's like a sledgehammer trying to crack a walnut. He's way more than that. it'll be an exciting time for a lot of people in Eugene, particularly for a lot of those people that have allergies. So remember you bring your allergy stuff.
Medication.
Yeah.
Wear your nose strips.
Your nose strippies.
Yeah. What else did Galen Rupp used to do?
Wear the victories in a 10K run.
Cut some holes in your singlets.
Yeah.
Arrow.
The classic Bowman move is to leave mid-trials.
Go
back to Park City.
Get altitude.
For like 6 days.
Is Jerry going to be at the trials, do you think? He's traveling?
He's pretty busy. Should ask him.
I mean, I don't know if he's available for comment, but...
We'll see.
I
wonder if they'll still do that this year.
Which part?
Well, like the Park City part.
I don't even think they've been at altitude. I think they've just been...
Seriously?
I don't think so. I think that's why they train like... They do like 7 workouts a week because they're at sea level.
Have they not been in Park City recently?
I mean, honestly, my Bowman tracker has been a little bit faulty lately. I haven't really been playing...
I've been following their social media.
But I know that... I know they were going up at one point, so they probably would go up before the trials.
They've been up. I've been following their social media and... it's been quite good. The merch has been heavy flowing. So get your Bowman merch.
I think you only do that for the 10-5 double, and they might not have anyone doing that.
I'm sure there's somebody there that's doing it. Maybe
steeplechases now.
Yeah.
Who knows? But with that ramble out of the way, we have our very special guest joining us. Kyle, can you hear us?
It's nice to finally be on this podcast. It's been a while. I feel like I'm a top 5 mentioned character in the Coffee Club cinematic universe.
Oh, 100%.
You're up 100%. There for sure.
Membrane's up there.
CMU.
I was trying to remember. I was like, yeah, has Kyle really not been on before? On us.
The big one we've had Chris is the only one I can think of that. Cheeky Chava is the only one. I can't think of anyone else.
Only recently we started doing these over the internet.
Yeah.
I also sent you guys beans like 2 years ago. Did those arrive in the mail yet, or are they still lost?
What address did you send it to?
How did you send them?
Yeah.
Was it by donkey?
I think I just wrote Coffee Club Boulder, Colorado.
That normally finds us, so that's surprising.
Yeah, that's weird.
We didn't see them, though. You know what? Probably Tom intercepted them and stole them for himself.
I wouldn't be fucking surprised.
So yeah. But Kyle, we're so happy to have you on today, and... there's just so much for us to talk about, and we will prep you beforehand. Well, this is not prep. This is we'll warn you beforehand. We're going to ask you some questions today, and we're aware that you may not be allowed to answer any of them.
Yeah. I mean, my goal is just – I don't know if my boss has ever listened to this before, but my goal is that Michael Johnson is not mad at me by the end of this podcast.
Well –
Johnson & Johnson will be
we'll
fine,
see,
I
we'll
think.
We'll see what happens, I guess. We'll see what happens. But
as he is a boss.
He's a great boss. Yeah, no, it's really. It's funny because I feel like we've been in some meetings and every now and then someone else will be like, you know, Kyle's actually was a good runner. It's like, well, in comparison to 12 gold medals,
yeah,
not really worth mentioning.
That is tough.
Who's a better boss, Chris or Michael?
I would say... It's not even a competition. Chris and I always, I would say we were more equal.
Equals?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably, that's a good answer. Yeah.
Whereas MJ and I are definitely not equal.
Yeah. It's a clear power imbalance here.
both world record holders though.
Yeah.
Mine are disintegrating. I've only got one left.
Yeah, you still have more than us. Yeah. I didn't realize you had multiple.
I had three at one point. Now I just have the indoor 4x8.
Yeah, I don't think anyone runs that.
Pretty obscure.
Yeah, hopefully no one figures it out for a while. It's not that fast.
Oh, that's hilarious. Can you tell us what your official position is?
Yeah, so I am the senior director of racing at Grand Slam Track. So the way I kind of describe that is like, if it touches the track, then I touch it. You know, primary thing being I am working with all the agents and athletes and coaches to figure out who's going to be in the league.
Oh, okay. So that's a very big role.
All events?
I mean, yeah, across the board. You know, I'll be negotiating the contracts for the 100, 200 runners all the way up to the 3K, 5K.
Wow. Yeah.
Good to know. And maybe the best way to start this off will be if you could just give a little blurb. I think everyone that is listening to the podcast will have. I think it's pretty hard not to see like everything that came out yesterday. Us three boys personally, we had a very busy first half of our day yesterday. Mm. So we kind of, I think we missed things maybe as they dropped, but then in that evening, I know that we all
had some light reading.
Yeah, did some homework, caught up, and we're pretty well versed in it. But just, yeah, how would you explain what is going on here to the listeners in Grand Slam Track?
Yeah, so Grand Slam Track is going to be a new professional track league starting in 2025. It's going to be four different weekends over the course of the spring season. There's going to be six event groups, both on the men's and women's side, with athletes competing twice over the course of the weekend. So athletes are going to be assigned to a specific group, be it the short sprints, the 100 and the 200, the short hurdles, the hurdles, then a flat 100, then the long sprints running the 200 and the 400, the long hurdles running the 400 hurdles, and then coming back with a flat 400, middle distance or short distance, as we now call it, the 800 and the 1500, and then long distance running the 3K and 5K. And so it is supposed to be the premier track league because the athletes are going to be the best of the best. It's really putting a big emphasis on racing, rivalry, head-to-head matchups. You know, the prize purse is quite large, with winners taking home $100,000 down to $10,000 for last place. Athletes are going to be broken up into two categories, racers and challengers. So at the start of the season, each group of events is going to have four athletes who have a base contract or base compensation associated with their participation in the league for committing to do all four. And then the remaining four athletes in each of the event groups are what we call the challengers. And that's a rotating cast of who's running well, who the fans want to see, what's the most compelling matchup. And so there's only going to be 96 athletes competing in each slam. And so hopefully an opportunity to get to know the best of the best really closely.
Amazing. I know
I have so many
questions. Yeah, we all have so many questions. So yeah. Maybe
we got a good pitch really quick. Like, no, did I nail that in an elevator?
I feel like you've been practicing that in front of a mirror.
You
it did. Felt very, very concise and well versed.
You did crush
I tried
that.
To do it a lot.
You did crush that. And
can I ask one? Can I go first?
Well, I think you should ask the first question, but first you should just say that the first athlete you signed is Sydney McLaughlin, because that's pretty important, I think.
My question is based on that.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go Kyle. For it. Well, no, I was going to say,
obviously, starting out with Sydney McLaughlin Livroni, kind of a big splash. You know, not many athletes in the sport who, you know, do it better. So really excited to have her on board. I have one racer down and I need to get 47 more before April.
That was my question. Can you say, have you only signed one? Like, no, not that you're going to tell us who they are, but have you signed any more out of the 48?
Yeah, we're going to be rolling them out all summer and fall. Like it's an active process, and we want each of the signings to be a big deal. You know, done, made special. It's a big deal when an athlete signs the league. So, yeah, more coming. And, you know, I'm really interested in speaking with Gus. I don't know.
I don't know if you have the money
for Tom and I.
Yeah, Gus has been ignoring phone calls at the moment. I think it's because, particularly for some reason, Chewy has been trying to get onto him quite a bit.
Understandable.
But no, he'll have his ears open
if the numbers are right.
If the numbers are right, and he hears that Kyle's calling, he's a big fan of you, Kyle. So he'd be excited to pick up that phone.
I didn't get a plushie. I waited like a couple hours too long. I was really excited to give that to my daughter.
Yeah, my parents also didn't get one, and they have not forgiven me since. My dad keeps calling me saying, "Hey, you're gonna get another? Can you get a plushie for me? Like, you're my son."
He messaged me directly, and I said, "Yeah, don't worry, I got one for you."
Oh, you did? Okay, well, maybe we might have to.
So I just have to steal one from someone else. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, either that, or we make more, and we'll give one to Kyle because I feel bad now.
Are they reselling anywhere?
Not that I'm aware of, but I guess you know the black market. I wouldn't know.
The gussies.
Ollie, do you want to ask the next question, or should I?
No, you go. You go.
Okay. There's too many questions. First question for me then.
Yeah.
So the plan for next year is to have 4 meets. What would you say the ideal number of meets is? Like I'm trying to gauge what like maybe the end goal of this, like what you guys have in mind for a perfect product, because I don't imagine year one is going to be your perfect product. What would be the perfect number of meets that you would host in a year in this Grand Slam format or league?
Right now it's just 4. I mean, it's obviously modeled in like the spirit of tennis and golf. I think, you know, as is, it's, if you got the best athletes competing against each other 4 times a year, ahead of an Olympics or world championships, I think we're looking pretty good at this.
So,
some intriguing matchups, and that's really digestible.
I guess
fans.
Follow up question, similar. What would your ideal, like when would these meets take place? Because it seems like they're going to be relatively close together, but I imagine like in tennis, they're very spread apart. Is that what you would want to work towards?
Yeah, they're all taking place during the spring season. And then like, we know when they, like we're just going to roll that out slowly. You know, we got to have something to talk about the next number of months. Mm-hmm. They're spread out a bit, and you know, it's something that, you know, we're going to make others aware of, like World Athletics we're working with, like they're going to know when our schedule is, like, you know, some of the major meets. We're also working really closely with all the shoe companies. I think that's a really unique aspect that I think has been overlooked the last 24 hours, is the fact that there's no shoe sponsor attached to the league whatsoever. You know, we want to remain agnostic. The idea being that this becomes a really good platform for sponsors and athletes to be on showcase, hence the no bibs and no numbers. You know, there might be some flexibility in terms of logo restrictions now, because we're not going to be, you know, a continental tour diamond league. And so from shoe company standpoint, you know, the billboards just got bigger and hopefully seen by a lot more people.
It is an interesting point, but that's pretty normal, no? Like there's, what league is, I don't think in other sports any league is attached to sponsors, are they?
No, but track is, you know, like think of, you know, you guys crossing a finish line and getting wrapped in another brand's logo.
Yeah.
You know, if you break the tape, you know, that kind of ruins the picture.
But yeah, I'm still like, I really wanted to move towards where, a place where I know that brands aren't going to influence who gets into races. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you don't think they will?
I mean, they're not. No. I mean, there's no reason to. Like, they don't have the money. Like, their money is not pushing anything.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, it's way less. You know, the majority of brands that we've spoken to are super supportive, are going to encourage the athletes. I think they're communicating that to agents and coaches right now, saying like, we really like this. Future contracts are already going to have bonuses in them for a lot of the brands, and a lot of brands are updating contracts to include bonuses for next year.
I can imagine the agents loving this because they get 15%. So I can imagine seeing that prize purse.
Yeah.
They're very excited about it, particularly that, you know, an agent can put in maybe multiple athletes, and if they're winning that much money, it's good dosh. My question, it's good for everyone. Yeah. My question is, so looking at it, we have, obviously this is like, we're very distance biased. you've selected short distance and long distance from 800 to 1500 and 3K to 5K. Those are two separate categories. It's going to be, for me, I think, as a mid-distance guy, it's going to be interesting to see that gap between the 800 and the 15, because the way the 1500 meters run, particularly in my perspective for the men's, there's not that many 815 guys. Like, but also there's like the 800 guys, a very specific 800. So seeing the way that's going to be kind of tossed up will be very interesting. How do you think like the training as well as the preparation for like the athletes you select, like how is that going to affect them? Because I mean, just looking at some of the top Americans as well as the top internationals, a lot of them haven't run a lot of 800s, and vice versa, 800 meter runners have not run a lot of 15s in that kind of environment. Is that something that you guys wanted to push, is to kind of get them out of their comfort zones a little bit and compete in that different kind of setting?
Yeah, I think you just like stumbled on one of the most fun parts of the league, is like the conversations that are going to happen, you know, among fans, media, and athletes and coaches, because like that's good content right there. Talking about a Thing Mo versus Faith Kipyegon, you know, Faith has to drop down to 8, a Thing has to move up to the 15, and it's a matter of like displacing one another as best as possible. It's really interesting matchup. It's no longer just one race. And I think in the first year or two, you know, athletes probably aren't going to adjust training significantly, but then at some point, especially as the league continues to grow and perhaps money gets better and better, it's something that we will see, that athletes start working towards specific event groups rather than just specializing in one event. So, I think to your previous point, like everyone's getting out of their comfort zone a little bit, right? Like it is different. It's not just one meet at the end of the season anymore. That's going to take some getting used to, but, you know, I think it's for the good of the sport to push everyone a little bit to get outside their comfort zone. Cause I think if you look around right now and see the way that the sport is operating, like we need to change something. So, the league will force athletes to approach their mindset of racing and training maybe a little bit differently, agents and coaches as well. I mean, right now coaches just operate in the idea of winning one medal at the end of the season, and all of a sudden like there's a lot of incentive to do well throughout the course of the season.
So do you feel like the money is going to be the difference in terms of, as an example, the best 800 meter runner in the world right now, Keely Hodgkinson, is pretty clearly a 4.8 girl. Like she literally races for, she just ran a 400 quite recently. Do you think the money is going to get her over the line to be prepared to run 4 1500s before the major championships?
I mean, maybe, hopefully. I think in the first year, like there's definitely going to be some people who are not in the league because, you know, they're not, it's a product that people haven't seen yet. And then in due time, you know, maybe people start making adjustments. I think a thing we'll see a lot is, you know, maybe there are certain athletes who do run the 400, 800 who just come in, and they come in as a challenger and they run one or two meets that first year. And then with the idea, a couple of years time, they move up. It'll be interesting to see. I have a lot of confidence that Keely could be a great 1500 meter runner, for example. I think it's, there's some athletes that are going to fit perfectly into certain boxes, and others are going to have to change things up if they want to like really thrive. But I think that's also the idea, is like, look, if you win the 800, you get 10 points, and then you come back and you finish, you know, solid in the 1500, you're still going to walk away with $50,000.
Makes sense.
What have you got, Morg?
I still got so many questions. One thing I was thinking about you.
I was thinking about you more.
Your role is, being the man who has to sign all these athletes, I think there's probably gonna be so much pressure on you. Just based on how MJ talked, like, because when I was listening to him on Citrus Mag or with Cheeky Chavez, and multiple times he brought up the fact how last year men's 100, the best people only raced each other once. He brought that up so many times, right? Yeah. So it's pretty much like it almost becomes like conditional for his league, like your league, to have success, that you have the best athletes in it. Because if you don't have the best athletes in it, then, like, I mean, so much of your branding is about having the best athletes. So then it puts a lot of pressure on you to, like, you have to get the best athletes. Do you think that's, like, going to happen, like, in that first year? Because then what happens if you don't have a best athlete? And then it's, I don't know, let's, an easy example is, you look at the 400 hurdles, Sydney McLaughlin. There's no Femke Bol. Like, why would someone, doesn't it kind of just take away from it?
Yeah, I mean, a few points is, like, not everyone, I don't, not everyone has heard our offers yet, you know? So for some athletes to say, like, no, I'm not in, it's like, well,
it's too early. You know,
it's too early. Like, we haven't even had the conversations yet.
Everyone has a price.
It's true.
Like, maybe there is some intrigue, or maybe there is intrigue to do a couple in that first year. But again, like, the idea is, like, this is a for-profit business, like, and for-profit businesses don't have to, like, succeed and be profitable on day one. Like, we're built for the long term here. And I think what's going to happen is there's going to be some athletes who are fairly skeptical and will watch the first couple of meets at home and be like, what am I doing? Why am I sitting here watching this? Like, why, this looks great. I've never seen a track meet presented in this way. And like, the stands are packed and like, the presentation is great and people are buzzing. Like, why am I not there? And, you know, I think what we'll see is that someone will come in as a challenger at some point during year one. And then, you know, the news will break that they signed a multi-year deal at some point. Mm. So like, again, like, it doesn't have to be everyone year one. I would love that. That'd be wonderful. But it is something that we're building for long term. And I think when athletes experience it and like, the fans see it, then, you know, we can win them over.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's two will be in the US and then two will be international. LA has already been announced as one of them. That's going to be where the headquarters is. The second one, yeah. I'm hoping it doesn't start with an E, where you're going to be based in this next one.
You said New York or Chicago, right?
Is it New York or Chicago? Is that what?
I mean, you guys should definitely follow Grand Slam Track on Instagram, Twitter, and all social media accounts. And as soon as we launch,
is it on TikTok as well? They have TikTok.
Yeah.
Is Johnson doing TikTok?
But no, I mean, that we're going to announce everything soon enough. But no, we are starting in LA.
Okay. No, is it already confirmed, the all four of the, like, where you're going to have these four meets?
Yeah.
Are you happy with where it is internationally and as well as domestically?
Very pleased.
Yeah. I don't think you can say no.
I know, but I'm just, I want to know, and I'm tickling the surface here.
Imagine me saying I'm furious or something.
Yeah.
I can't believe
we didn't get that one. Another thing that I think is really cool about it is, if it's, I'm hoping that, you know, when you go to, like, okay, this is an Ollie rant, so just brace for it. But so it's obviously modeled over, like, the golf and the grand slams of, like, tennis and stuff. The one thing that people love about tennis and golf, which is irrelevant to the actual performances, is the celebrities turning up. Are you guys going to be, like, hopefully trying to get some celebrities into the crowd, or, like, because, you know, when you go and watch a game or you go watch something and then you see, like, I don't know, Zendaya's in the crowd. She just signed with On, actually. But you see those kind of athletes, like, those cool stars and celebrities in the crowd. Is that something that is another thing that you guys want to add on to that layer of the onion, is to try and get a lot of celebrities in it and get the hype around that? Is that a thing, or is that just bullshit?
I think something that I think is important to kind of communicate is, like, right now we're a sport that has track fans, but we need to, like, open up a little bit and bring in sports fans, right? Like, and people love watching track. They, you know, they watch the Olympics and they're all for it, but they don't know where to go next. And our place in the sport will be, like, where you go next. Like, if you enjoyed watching Noah Lyles at the Olympics, well, when does he get to compete again? He's going to be at, you know, these four meets in theory. So, you know, I think that, to your point, like, a lot of the celebrities and stars from other sports and whatnot, like, people like track. They just don't know where to find it. And the meets are definitely going to be a little bit more of a, like, I don't want to say like festival because that gets overused, but like it's going to be fun. Like there's going to be an atmosphere. Like it's going to be, it's not the issue with a lot of things in the sport right now is that meat promoters are just invested in one meat a year. And we have the opportunity to know well in advance exactly where our meets are going to be, who's going to be competing at them. We're going to be able to start ticketing way earlier, promoting athletes way earlier. A lot of the way that our company is built right now is like, it's not just track people. Really, the only two like true track people are myself and MJ. It's people coming from the NFL, from WWE, from Red Bull, from the Premier League, like the agencies we're working with, work with other professional sports leagues. Like it's really like, what is everyone else doing really well that we need to do better in track? And, you know, just being in a room right now with the team and like hearing the different perspectives and ideas and like the way things are done elsewhere, you just kind of realize like there's this whole other world of, you know, fans to tap into that we aren't yet tapping into, but we know that the potential is there because we know that a couple billion people watch track.
Yeah.
Every 4 years.
I'm expecting like Sha'Carri running and you just see Cardi B's in the, like the background, like, you know, cheering on, like that's what I'm hoping would be seen at the slams, right? Because it's like hopefully a massive event, and that's a cool thing that I think that sports will get people interested in sports as well, as having all these sports fans as well as big names coming to support our best track and field athletes. So I was wondering how that's going to be sold.
I was at the New York Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago, and you know, like I brought, this is like a very purposeful thing. I brought a buddy of mine who's a sports fan, but like has never been to a track meet in his life. And I just wanted to get his perspective. I was just, you know, like, tell me what you see. Give me your thoughts. And at one point he got up to go get a beer and he was gone for 20 minutes. He missed two races completely waiting online, got up to the front. And then they said that they weren't serving beer. And he came back and sat down and he was like, I couldn't get a beer. And I just missed two races. And it's like every sporting event in the world has, you know, guys walking up and down the alley asking if you want a beer or hot dog so you don't leave your seat. I mean, at the pre-classic, I don't know if you guys were able to understand like how full that meet actually was, but everyone was just underneath the stadium waiting online for like food. But like there were a ton of people there. And but you just need people to sit in their seats and like bring it to them and build the atmosphere. And the other thing that I saw at New York, the Grand Prix was like, the introductions were really like, they weren't like the big craziest introductions of all time, but like they gave everyone a moment to like be acknowledged by the crowd. And like the fans love it. Like it really like creates a big atmosphere by doing that stuff. And these are just like all little tweaks that can be made to just make it a little bit more fan centric and like not just about, it's not just about the athletes. Like, in truth, like when the fans win, like the athletes will win. And I feel like a lot of our sport is never necessarily thinking about the fans, and we have to start if we want to continue to grow.
There's so many extra things at sporting events, like the kiss cam, those like lookalike cam, like there's all those different things that people like to have at big things like that. It'd be fun to do like a, like you say, keep the fans invested, because that's the one thing that I think is what's going to make that successful, right? Is just having people like wanting to book their tickets incredibly in advance to go to these meets. So,
yeah, I mean, and so, I mean, we're taking a step back and we're thinking about it more as like a large sporting event rather than just a track meet. A lot of track meets right now are put on by agents in the sport, you know, like who are balancing a million things at one time. And instead, like we're bringing in people who specifically work on throwing events. And that's like their full-time job is throw an event. And so, you know, I think all that to say, like, when people see it, like, I think that they're really going to like it and want to be a part of it, invest in it, because it's no longer catered just to track fans, but how do you bring more people in?
George?
Morg? I got another one. One of the things that came up this morning in our pre-podcast, just prep. Just chatting about it. One of the things, at least for me, that felt like, I don't know, I'm not sure if I'm on the same page with, is that, let's compare it. All right, we're going off the tennis model. You win a Grand Slam. If you lose one game you're done. No matter what. You can't win a Grand Slam if you don't win every single game. Theoretically, yeah. It seems to me, you can win every single Grand Slam, every single dollar on offer, $400,000, and win every single Grand Slam, and have not won a single race. Is that... how that seems... I don't know. People like seeing... yeah. People like winning. People like watching
in
people
theory,
win.
That is... no, it's an interesting thought. In theory, that is possible. But like, we're rewarding excellence across multiple events. I mean, you see in the decathlon, that's already the case, right? Like,
yeah. And do you have the decathlon?
We don't have the decathlon. No. No, I mean, it is an interesting point, but you know, I don't think that takes away. I still think that is a storyline and something that can be celebrated. And it's then like races within races as well. Like an athlete might come and win the 400 hurdles and then get smoked in the flat 400, but they still probably might walk away with not only a decent amount of money, but feeling pretty good about their performance that weekend.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we were talking about today is the potential lack of a climax. Cause any good sporting event has a climax. Well, pretty much all the good ones. And especially the ones that this is seemingly modeled off being tennis and golf. Like, you know, everyone knows that last day, everything is like, you know, on the table. So we were a bit concerned that these events would potentially not have, you know, that climactic moment that you want as a fan.
Arguably, you have multiple climaxes. Like someone might cross finish line and you have
multiple climaxes. I feel like there's
quote Carl Merber. Quote Carl Merber.
Quote Carl Merber.
I see what you're saying. And these are, I mean, I don't know.
We're nitpicking.
Yeah, we're nitpicking.
We do think it's.
We should have said this before when we first started this call, just to get out of the way, because we're asking questions as if we're like roasting. Like we think this is such a good idea. We think it's so good that there's a private company come. Like it's pushing so many things in the right direction. Like there needs to be private company like shaking things up, doing things their way. That is to optimize for the fans 100%. But then. There are just these little things that we're wondering about. And the lack of the climax was one of them. But then I think all of us as well. And I'm interested on your perspective. From a distance runner's point of view, it's like the 3K, 5K in 3 days, four times, like potentially close to each other. I'm a little worried about that. I think that especially like America-centric based here, sprinting this is gonna like explode. I'm a little bit worried about the distance side of it. I think with distance runners, because the thing is the distance events, it seems like have to be put into the same kind of bucket that like these sprint events are, but inherently they're very different, you know. Do you have thoughts about maybe how the distance like could be done? And I don't know.
No, it's interesting because I'm trying to think of exactly what year you did the double of the 3K 5K at NCAA.
2018, 2019.
I did do that, but I
wouldn't. And that was back to back.
Yeah, I mean it's like, well, that's
how much did you have to get paid to do that, Morgan?
Well, Wisconsin scholarship, priceless.
Jonathan McBurn,
like it's not that it's done. Like people do it in the NCAA.
I'm not saying that it's not possible to do. More what I'm saying about with the distance events. I'm saying that. I mean, if the money's right, people will do whatever. Like, I do agree with that. So I think people will sign up to do four of them in, let's say it's a month and a half, 2 months. I'm not sure what the time gap will be. But then I'm worried that the 3K and the 5K are just going to play out the exact same.
Yeah, I think it's fun because, like, how many times have you finished a race and just thought, like, man, if I could have just gone back and done something a little bit differently? Or, like, you know, I can't believe I let that go slow. Like, you know, he had such a better last lap than me. I think I'm going to take it earlier. Like it's kind of an opportunity to rewrite history and like see completely. I mean, I think if you just see that someone's really sharp and just had a way better last lap, then you're thinking, let me do something completely different. Mm. And some guys are going to be better at the 3K than the 5K and vice versa. So
on the theme of that, will it always be the same order, like 5K day one, 3K day three, or will it sometimes be flipped?
Let me throw it to you guys. If you had to pick, what would it be?
Surely 5K first, 5K right?
First.
Yeah, probably. That's what I would assume.
But then
well,
people
15 and same 15-8. I think.
Yeah.
Maybe 15.8 is a bit different.
More,
I think that's
probably
different.
More interchangeable. Yeah. That probably doesn't matter as much.
That doesn't matter as much.
I think 5K first, but then you'd be concerned that people would be just jogging too often, which is exciting racing. But
yeah, I like the 5K at NCAA was amazing this past, you know, men's race.
It was.
They just went barely under 14 minutes, but like I was on my feet. Like it was amazing.
Yeah. I'm all for these slow races. I'm definitely not.
And if you have to do, you know, 8K of racing four times a year, you know, it's probably to your advantage not run 12:45 every single time.
But I can imagine some individuals being able to be like,
depends who you sign.
Yeah, it depends who you sign. Because right, if you're signing certain people that can be like, I can just run and win every race by 20 seconds and just crush it. And just go back to back a lot of times. I can imagine this. Like, obviously, it's a very unique athlete, but I reckon they can do it. Yomif, I reckon Yomif could do it.
You guys better sign Yomif.
I think Yomif could do it. He could probably win every race by quite a margin and then come back for the next one. Unless you sign somebody else that's near his level, which they will because it's four. But
so let me throw to you guys. What do you like about it?
About the league?
Yeah, what's like the most exciting part besides just like it's a lot of money?
The exclusiveness of it, I think, is pretty amazing. Like if you're looking at, obviously a lot of people are going to be angry and pissed off that they're not going to be in this league because there's only eight on the line. And for distance as well, that's not many people compared to what you get at Diamond Leagues or certain other races. It's just like eight's nothing. And then four of those eight are not even reoccurring. Like they're people that come in as challengers. So I really love that idea. I think it's a great way to build up storylines, but as well as showcase individual athletes. And I think that's incredible. That's what I love about it. I know every, particularly mid-distance, like the 15.8, like it's just going to be crazy to try and get. If you get into one of these meets, it's going to be like something you'd tell your kids about because it's like going to be so hard to get in my opinion.
I hope that's the case. That'd be wonderful.
I honestly think because of how much money you guys are putting up and how good everyone is in particularly mid-distance, I think it's going to be extremely difficult to get into that, into one of those meets. I don't know.
Ollie, to your point, something that the analogy I make a lot is like F1 is 20 drivers and the 21st driver is probably really pissed off.
Yeah.
He's probably like, why am I not in there? I'm good enough.
Yeah.
But that makes it a really good product, right?
Like yeah.
You can name all 20 drivers and you know them and you know their personalities and their storylines. And, you know, this is arguably better in terms of fairness because athletes have the opportunity to run their way in, whereas you don't necessarily in F1.
Yeah. That was the politics thing that I was interested about because obviously with F1, there's certain drivers that get in because of maybe their dad owns the whole thing. But but with track, like you guys are going to be making these selections, particularly like obviously the start of the year, you're going to pick four athletes, they're going to be reoccurring, and then four of the challenger athletes. Do you have a way of selection or is that something you can't talk about? Is like how you're going to select these athletes? Is it going to be...
Sure, it's just whoever they think is going to be the most exciting.
But could it be story? It could be rivalry, it could be storyline, it could be anything. Like how do you...
Yeah,
it's going to be hard between so many people, right?
Yeah, and don't discount value.
Yeah,
You know, like there's money involved. The budget is not infinite, and so look, right now I'm sitting here watching every track meet, seeing who looks good and who doesn't. I'm not necessarily going out and trying to get everyone right now because we're waiting to see how things finish off at the end of the year and. You know, who the biggest stars are coming out of the Olympics. But no, I mean, you want the best, you want the fastest. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. If it's not like a popularity contest as much as like what's the most compelling matchup.
Yeah.
And I think right now something that's missing in the sport is there's not many platforms or places where you get rewarded for having a personality, like for talking shit. Like that doesn't necessarily turn into dollars anywhere. But you know what I hope happens is like the ninth racer who's sitting at home saying I should be in that when someone loses, like I want them to chirp. Like, you know, get like
Fred Curley out.
Fred Curley.
but like wouldn't you then be more intrigued if someone's
like the know, what like, if the what
sounds
if.
Like UFC a bit. They're gonna talk their way into an exciting matchup.
Nikki Hills did say that on tweets. I think they were like who wants to start beef? Question mark. Because, you know, obviously a storyline with beef would put you into the race, which honestly makes sense if you have a bit of rivalry. I mean, the Josh and Jingy rivalry, like, that's just an amazing storyline you'd want to buy into.
I'm sure those guys got paid very well because of it. You know what I mean? Like, truly.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
And you know, I'm sure Fred and Marcel have done well for themselves because of their trash talk. And so, like, you know, this is now amplified more so. And then, look, something we say all the time is, like, we got to market the sport better. We got to market the sport better. And that just, like, doesn't mean anything for most people. Like, there's just something that they say, but, like, no one can give any concrete examples of what that is. The benefit of having people signed to the league is we know exactly who is going to be racing months in advance, when and where. Like, no longer is the days of, like, finding out the start list the day before and then trying to sell tickets or build a storyline. And also as part of that is, like, access, you know, like, built into contracts is content days, just like it is your shoe contract. So now all of a sudden, like, we have that opportunity to, like, build your profile and build your storyline on top of your, and this is another reason why, like, the shoe companies really like it, is because now you have another invested party who really wants to see you succeed as a brand. And so, like, that is marketing the sport. That is being able to say, you know, well in advance, the coffee club guys are coming to LA. We're putting on, you know, an event a few days before. Come by.
Yeah, that's exactly what, to answer your question about what we like about it, that's exactly what I would say, is just transparency between the sport and the fans. Like, they know exactly what they're going to know exactly what the product is and, like, when they're getting it and how to make the most out of it, which is just something that's really, yeah, lacking right now. And I think that's going to be the best thing about it, because I think in this day and age, when you talk about making a sport modern, you talk about designing it in a way that it's, like, the most exciting to, you know, engage with and consume via the social media and all that. And that's seemingly what you guys are going to be able to do really well.
Yeah, and like, I've seen obviously a number of comments the last 24 hours that I've just kind of, like, I understand that, like, not everyone is in the room for certain conversations or, like, have, like, a really keen idea of, like, exactly what's going on. But, like, a really common thing is, it's like, well, why don't you just invest in meets that, like, already exist rather than starting your own thing, right? And, like, one of the benefits is that we, by starting from scratch, like, we get to start doing everything right immediately. Mm. So, you know, in terms of, like, broadcast deals, you know, like, being able to carve out space for creators and, you know, tapping into Twitch and, you know, like, if you wanted to use footage of yourself racing that was on TV, you would have to pay such a funny, hilarious amount of money to show 20 seconds of that race.
Yeah.
And by, like, starting over, we can, like, rebuild that infrastructure and have those conversations in the very beginning rather than having to, like,
yeah, well,
deal with many stakeholders.
You need to have control so you can be dynamic and so you can adapt and, yeah, be in the best way possible to take advantage of all those things, which, yeah, clearly doesn't happen. I one thing I did find funny, which I just have to bring up, I don't know if you guys probably have some, like, I don't know, $1 million publicist working for you telling you maybe to say these things, but MJ said multiple times that he doesn't see it as a competitor to the Diamond League, and I'm just like, come on. Can we just be honest here? Like, it's obviously a competitor to the Diamond League, because if people are running at your meet, they're not going to be running at the Diamond League meets.
I mean, it's only four meets. And so I think that the Diamond League is still very much going to exist. And I think that of this is like a rising tide lifts all boats. You know, for example, like, right now we have 8 athletes who are going to be competing in a Grand Slam track event. Look, like, how often do you get the 8 best athletes competing in any given Diamond League right now? Like, that rarely ever
happens. Mid-distance, yes. Every other event, no, I would
say. Yeah, and part of the reason for that is that, like, you know, they have a certain amount of appearance fee and it goes to one guy generally.
Yeah.
And then they'll pay someone else, like, a very small bit. And, like, a lot of the athletes, like, they might have their number that they ask for, but then if it's to have a head-to-head matchup at, you know, a meet, their number's up if they have to face a rival. And so like there's still definitely going to be the Diamond League, like 100%. Like I will be attending many of them. I will be watching many of them very closely. But, you know, I think there's like the thing I see a lot is like, oh, it's just the rich getting richer. And it's like, no, like if the rich get richer, then like that creates opportunities for other athletes who are not currently getting into the Diamond League.
Yeah. Well, they just needed to be competition for the Diamond League. They needed to be competition. So then they have to change and create a better product as well.
Even financially, the Diamond League like has dropped prize money from $70,000 for a Diamond League final winner to down to $30,000. So like, and we've seen that the Diamond League has been successful with people turning up and engaging in those meets. So why is the money going down? You know, they don't need to worry about paying their athletes because it's the only, like it's the only big race that they can use to pretty much to make money, but also to, you know, promote their career. So having this extra league is definitely, yeah, it's definitely going to help. Though, to be fair, I think a lot of those Diamond Leagues earlier on, when the Grand Slam track is on, it'll be interesting to see how the Diamond League responds to Grand Slam. I think that's going to be an interesting perspective because I wonder if they're going to up prize money or they're going to try and do something, because I'm sure they will try and do something to combat what you guys are doing, which will be a good thing because hopefully, like you said, it'll raise all boats.
Yeah, I mean, we just want more people watching track, right? Like, and I think that's like the same thing with like World Athletics sees it and USATF sees it. Like, if we can get more people watching track more regularly, like that helps everyone. So, and to do that, we have to bridge the gap. Like, we have to create a product that is no longer something that we are in a position to do because we are a for-profit company. We are not a governing body or a federation. Like, we can make really tough decisions and like they are not in a position to make those. I mean, we've seen the pushback that they've had anytime that they've tried to make certain changes because they have to, you know, they have to think about the entire sport of track and field as a whole, rightfully so. And they do a really good job at that. And, you know, USATF has to continue to serve all of its athletes and World Athletics has to serve all of its federations. But like, we have to make money, which is a completely different goal than anyone else has right now. And, you know, the shoe companies have that goal, but their product is to sell shoes. Like, our product is athletes.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. George, any other questions?
Wrap it up. Not many left.
I have a question.
My only other one was probably, there's going to be people that can't race for whatever reason, either from your permanent people or your challengers. Will you always fill lanes?
Yeah, that's always the plan to fill. Yeah.
Just like have five challengers for if needed or something. If one permanent person is injured or something.
Yeah. I mean, not to get like too into the weeds, but like part of it is that there's got to be open communication about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So like if you have an Achilles thing that pops up a week before, like you got to tell us immediately so we can make sure that we're ready to go.
That'd be interesting. Our studio is falling apart. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw something. I just assumed like someone walked in.
Oh, Ollie almost got taken.
Jingy walked in.
Almost got taken out. My other question is commentary for these events. Are you open to doing an interview with, you know, anybody or three guys that run a podcast? Maybe we could do
a little package
deal.
Commentary.
How are you going to do it if you're in the race?
With
a mic.
Yeah, with a mic.
You got to put hot mics on athletes.
They do that in other sports.
Yeah, they do that in other sports. I love
it. It's obvious.
Yeah. Well, something that we are going to do is like, we're going to lean into data way more. Mm. Like we don't want to just know like who's the fastest, but why they're the fastest. And like
lactate monitoring going into the final lap. Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Just whoever has the lowest lactate wins. Instantly.
I love the idea because I think it has happened with certain athletes being mic'd up for like pre-meet or stuff like that. But if you could mic up, because you only have 8 athletes, if you mic up all the athletes and they all have to go to pre-meet at the same time and you just make them mingle together, I think that would be great for banter like, that's just amazing content. Because people don't see that, even core room stuff. People don't see what like people say, like
Mike in the core room would be
good. The stuff that we've said in the core, it's just funny. And I'm sure you've experienced it too, where there's in situations that have happened in the core room or situations that happen at pre-meets. It's like, I think a fan would love that kind of content as well.
Yeah, so. Centro in a call room is. right there. But no, I think something that a lot of people are mistaken about is like this idea that like track meets need to be sped up on the broadcast and we should just jump into the next race. And it's just like, just, you know, someone cross the finish line, get on the line. And I think that that is looking at it wrong. I think we just need to use the time between races a little bit better and like think of it as an opportunity to set up the races and to also celebrate the previous race. And like, why don't we have like field reporters, you know, of someone on the mic in the warm-up area telling us how Noah Lyle's hamstring is feeling and like speaking with his coach beforehand and like look for him to have like a more aggressive drive phase or something, you know, like
halftime interview.
Dive
half-time
in a little
yeah.
bit.
I mean, I can imagine like Yared, like Dayton just getting in the mic and they're like, yeah, Yared looks like he's jogging 8 minute pace for his warm-up and you just interview Dayton. He's like, well, he always does that. It's okay. He's ready to go. And then you have those coaches interacting. It would be quite funny, I think.
Yeah, so I think that there's like a lot of places to get a little bit more creative that we're not currently. So
yeah.
Well, Kyle, apologies if it feels like we've berated you with a barrage of questions. My final thing for you is a pitch.
Go on.
This doesn't have to happen next year. It can happen the year.
I've been pitched a lot the last.
This is long term planning. I think that the way this is going to play out, or it should play out, the Grand Slam track league becomes sprint only, and then we bring the Chicken Boy Morgs League in, distance only, because they both become their own sports. We run it a little differently, you know. I think we can make the distance side of it a slightly better product. I think we can do more races, and we can have bigger field sizes, and yeah, that's my pitch, is that you should let us come in and
your pitch is that you should create a competitor league.
No, I'm saying they should be both under the umbrella of
Johnson & Johnson. Johnson owns two leagues. One league is
distance Grand Slam.
I just think that eventually that there's going to be inefficiencies when you try and put, like, you guys have already dropped field events because it was too hard to balance it. I think that you have to become even more segmented, and that you have this amazing sprint-only product and then you have this amazing distance-only product.
But under the same, like...
Agency. Like, whatever access to funding you guys have, I would like to take advantage of.
Yeah. All right, finally we get to the root of it. I think, like, when we're thinking about growing the fan base of the sport, like, obviously you need to go into a more general sports fan, but, like, the easiest place in the world is to get the people who are already at the track. And I think, like, since retiring, I've gotten way more into sprints than when I was in my competitive career. And it's, like, what an easy conversion to get, like, a distance guy invested in sprints. So that's my pushback, is, like, we shouldn't be inviting those fans to watch both.
So it's not a no, or is that a no?
It's a challenge to your idea. It's not a direct yes.
No. All right.
Well, I don't. That's out of my, like, I'm not. That's MJ's decision.
Looks like we have to create a competitor then.
Mm.
Just have it be known that we extended the olive branch and it was not accepted, and so now we are going to look for other means of funding.
We have an appointment with Elon Musk's brother next week, so we can talk to him about it
as well.
It's
on the record.
Yeah.
But yeah.
In conclusion, we're big
fucking
fans.
Hyped.
We're hyped for it. We've been waiting a long time for this shit. Yeah, this is great to see. It's actually coming off. So it's
push
very
everything
exciting.
In the right direction. Yeah. So congratulations to everything you guys are doing.
We've got a lot of other fun stuff that we haven't shared. Everything's strategic in terms of the rollout up till April, but
it's a great time to cover the sport, for example, with a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys need any kind of, you know, other organization that might need help in promotion or anything like that, you know.
It's just a great time to be a podcast.
Yeah, it's a good time for, you know, we're always available. Morgan, Gus, anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will continue to message you, text you, if there's a spot in the 5K.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, look, we can do a reoccurring guest spot, like, I'll you know, we can break down things as time goes, and that's eventually true. One day I'll pop up in Boulder with a contract for.
Perfect.
That sounds like
a deal. It's not going to matter anyway, because the three of us are all going to win the Olympic gold medal in our respective events. So we're going to be, it's going
to
be fine either way.
Easy way to get invited,
easy way to get
league.
Invited to the league. Yeah.
That was so easy. Yeah.
That was Kyle's response to me yesterday. I said, hey, can I get in the 5K? He said, if you win the Olympics. So I said, consider it
I would
done.
Say have your agent reach out. That's, you know.
Consider it done.
Consider it done.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, it's been.
The thing. Let's I was going to go man. One more thing. The thing that I think a lot of people are, you know, it's like, who's going to join? Who's going to join? What's going to happen? Good value to say that you're interested right now.
Mm. We're all
it's
three
been
of us,
said.
We're interested.
It's been said.
We're all three interested, all right. But we also understand what this league means, and we just want to be, we just want to be in the vicinity. We're like a side chick.
All right, so this is what we have to do. This is what I'm hearing. We have to start a campaign, like, literally today. For get all our fans to rally, to make as much noise as possible to say, get the Coffee Club on that start line. Yeah. Get them on that start line.
It's a side quest.
And then they can't ignore it.
Yep.
You'd be
losing money not to.
Well, hey, thanks for finally having me on after all these years. I've been a pretty loyal listener. So
we appreciate you.
Yeah, we thank you.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I felt like you've been on a million times because of how much we talk about you, but I guess not. So apologies it took this long.
No, just look out for the beans in the mail. They should be there any day.
Yeah. All and right. Sorry what I said about your marathon.
Oh, it's all right.
Don't mean to bring up
we're in a better place now.
Don't mean to bring up bad blood. I actually did care about it. But all right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kyle. Best of luck with everything. We'll be following along, and obviously we'll be covering it all here on the podcast as well.
Free advertisement.
Welcome
for you
back
guys.
Anytime.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Love See you.
Bye bye.
Your contract was halved when you said you didn't care about his marathon.
I probably shouldn't have brought that back up.
And then he remembered.
Yeah, I don't know if he did. I feel like that went pretty well. I don't know. I don't know.
We didn't, honestly, can I be honest?
Please.
We didn't get that much information that we already didn't know.
But I think we knew
that
we
was,
weren't going
that was,
to.
Yeah.
That was a given.
I know that, but I was hoping at least something.
It's not
at
like
least something, like a little sprinkle of something.
We're not going to be the outlet that gets to...
Well, the Coffee Club podcast, George,
gets to give.
We should be that outlet. But I'm interested to see how it progresses. But I also think that I just the example of like Femke Bol and Sydney McLaughlin, like that kind of thing. I'm gonna love to see if that actually they can pull that off. That would be exciting, I think. Just any of those rivalries that everyone's been dying to see, if they can actually pull that off, it'd be
huge. They didn't
huge
even
win.
Say what event group Sydney was in, right? She could be in literally any of the sprint.
She's in the 3K, 5K. I've already talked to Merba.
Yeah, I guess they didn't, but they didn't need to either.
It doesn't matter. I mean, she's doubling. Obviously, it doesn't matter what she's in.
She fires the gun. She's a starter. Not even running.
That's what they're paying her for.
Yeah, she's just the starter. On your marks, get set.
Yeah. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to make everything better.
Mm-hmm.
I still really believe that distance should be its own thing.
I agree.
I'm just interested. Like, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the same four people race eight times, like a 3K and a 5K at four meets. Like, I think it's very doable. I think it'll be interesting as to who signs up for it. But honestly, I'm imagining that the money is going to be so good that
everyone's
people
gonna be in it.
Will say yes to it. And then... And the other thing which we didn't bring up is the timing of it, like in the spring. One thing I maybe would have mentioned is like, I'm just afraid that people are going to say like, oh, it's just like if someone gets beat, they're going to say like, oh, it's just the spring. So like, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
You know, which you don't want
to
hear.
The interesting thing will also be you have this Grand Slam, all these athletes competing head to head, and then you have other races going on in the world that might be better. Even though they're not. Like
That would 100% take, that would make the product like... Like, that would be like their worst nightmare.
Because what happens if you have, say, you have Jakob, Kerr, Whiteman, Jared competing in this 1500, right? They run 3:31. All of a sudden, you have a Diamond League in Oslo, and you have the rest of the 1500 meter field running 3:29 to 3:27 in a tactical rate, like an amazing, like, you know, some sort of big race everyone's talking about. like a Florence race in the 5K where it's not super fast, but it's just an amazing fun race to watch all these different athletes running really, really well. I can imagine that's still happening and people paying attention to that more than it's like, oh, what would happen if they were in the Grand Slam? I guess that's what Kyle wants to see is people putting their name out there and saying, hey, George Beamish, you know, he won world indoors in the 15, put him in the league in the 800, 1500 category for the next one in Claremont, Florida, Grand Slam.
I think the fact that you looked at it as one of them being a slower time than the other.
Yeah, I got confused
Which race
was Yara, Josh, and Jakobin?
They were in the race that were in like 331, right?
Were they in the Grand Slam or not the Grand Slam?
Grand Slam, and they're on 331. But then you have like a race like Florence, 5K, or like, I'm just examples.
No one's going to be saying they ran 331. No one cares what they ran. But that doesn't matter.
But what if you have 8 to 9 guys in an Oslo race, all really, really good guys that have raced those four before, and they run a really, really crazy time, but also a really, really fun, cool race to watch.
Well, if that happened and they look way better, then the league has to get them as challenges in the next one. That's like their whole, that's their whole model, is to have the best people in the moment racing each other. That's their whole model, is all about the best people racing each other. So that's their goal, I think, for every single race, is to have it be the best.
And then the Diamond League says, hey, no, you have to stay in these Diamond Leagues. You're not allowed to go to the Grand Slam.
I think we'll
pay you 100 smeckles.
As I said, I don't think I don't think there'll ever be a scenario where a Diamond League happens simultaneously with the Grand Slam with the same event, and the Diamond League is a good event. Like, I think they'll have to change the schedule, or the Diamond League will have to have different events on compared to what the Grand Slam has, because I don't think they'll be able to compete. In terms of getting in the best athletes,
I guess, but there's still so many good athletes, though. You could probably get two really good races out of it still.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Because
there are diamond leagues where they happen like 2 or 3 days apart, and there's amazing different athletes at both of them. So
it's just going to be interesting. I'm just thinking out loud. It'd be interesting to see how all that plays out, because I'm sure it could happen. It could happen. I'm not saying it will, but
yeah. Well, we forgot to do the bean shout out before, because Kyle joined. Should we just do it really quickly now and then do our USA preview?
Yep.
All right.
We have beans?
Well, we do have beans, but as well.
Oh, what is that?
It's the merch drop of...
That was a sweet.
Of Hot Boys.
I'm putting this on right now.
At Hot Boys.
So if we wear this, are we considered hot?
Hot and fast.
That says George on it.
Oh, it's got names on it?
George.
Does that one say Ollie? Yared.
Yared.
Oh, these are...
Yared got a hat.
George.
I don't think I've ever seen Yared wear a hat.
I've seen him wear a beanie. It's pretty funny.
But yeah, Ollie, it sticks off the top.
There's your hat.
It's hard to wear a hat when you have a flat top.
Yeah. So these are the Hot Boys Who Run have just done their merch drop. So this is part of that. So everyone should go check them out. They've kindly sent us these hats, and they also have the cool bracelets, which we regularly wear. So definitely go check them out. We love them so much. Yeah. Thanks for the support. Thanks for sending him to us.
Oh, shit. I think I broke it.
Ollie broke it? No.
No, it has a secret clip.
Yeah, it's a little clip guy. Little clip guy.
Ooh, that's comfy. I like it. I like it.
It's got George's approval. That's pretty big.
Big hat guy. Me and Ollie wear a lot of hats.
Still figuring it out.
Beans?
And then we also do have some beans. These come in from Sarah Jane and Ellery. They sent them to us from, the name was really good, Bad Beards Micro Roastery in Portland.
Is that a sign that we have bad beards, Morgs and George? And we have
I think Bad Beard is a compliment.
Having a bad beard?
Like, if you're a pirate and your name is Bad Beard, I think that's a good thing.
You do sound pretty cool.
I think that's, yeah, even though it does sound a bit kind of intuitive, I think it's a good thing. But yeah, these are, I think, from Colombia. So they're right up our alley.
Yeah, we do love Colombia beans.
Very, very excited to try these ones from Bad Beards Michael Roastery. Check them out. Thank you very much for sending those to us.
My hat label is going to become part of the studio.
Oh, that's beautiful. Just
claiming my mic here.
Very, very pretty. So we have been talking for quite a while now. So maybe I guess we were never going to do the most extensive preview of USA's, but we do want to put in our picks. So should we do it event by event?
Let's do it, Morgs.
I got more right here.
I'm very excited, even though I It's going to be off the top of my head.
That shocks no one.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about it.
Should we start with... Why don't we start... We'll go through the women's... Well, no, we'll start with 800. We'll just start the distance to go up. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, women's 800. And we can go this way. Ollie, you want to go first?
Sydney McLaughlin. No, so women's 800. Sage, do we put it in order of first to third or just top
one,
three?
Just go one, two, three.
Okay, number one, I'm going to put Sage. Because I've been watching her and she's ready to go. Number two... is it Nia Atkins? Is that how you pronounce her
name?
Nia Atkins. Number three, Athing Mo. I think that's pretty standard. I have this selection.
I have Athing, Nia, Sage.
I have Sage, Athing, Nia.
So we at least have three separate
so
orders.
At least we have separate orders. All right,
perfect.
I'm a bit afraid. I always want to do like more out there picks, but then sometimes you just have to.
You just want
to
win.
You have to go for that fastball sometimes. A little bit straight shooter.
Yeah.
Women's right. 15.
Because Ollie has to go first every time because we already have him written down.
Is that too much pressure? Are you okay with that?
I can.
Is that
a
disadvantage?
I can do it
because we can't change ours, but Ollie could change his based on what we say.
That's a good point.
So you have to go first every time.
All right, number one. Bryce Hopple.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I forgot we're doing the 800s together. Oh.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do the event by event.
Do you want to go first, George? Because you're obviously Bryce Hopple, my boy Jewett, and the third place. I was picking. See, I don't, not Eric Holt. I'm putting Eric Holt third.
he is running the eight.
He is running the eight, but I just want to put him in, I want him to make the team, so I'm putting him in the most spots possible.
I thought you were going to pick him in the 15.
That's such a good pick.
Yeah. I have Bryce, and then I'm going full NCAA lineup. Whitmarsh, Cohen.
Nice. Yeah, I was tossing up between those. So I have the first two, it was Ollie. I have Bryce, and then Isaiah Jewett, and then I have Whitmarsh. In third. So, right. Kind of similar as well. I like the Cohen pick. I just think the race might be fast enough. I mean, he ran 1:44, but I think it might be maybe a little bit faster. So we'll see. 15s. What do we got
for the women first?
Yeah.
El Pure, Saint Pierre, number one. Number two, Heather McLean. Number three, Nikki Hiltz.
Nice. Good picks.
I have.
So you've written them down, but you can't remember them.
I can remember. ESP, Nikki.
Who's ESP?
Emil Mackay.
Nice. I went for the New Balance Boston Sweep.
Oh,
I think it's gonna happen. I think it's gonna happen.
I mean, we did talk about it.
We did talk about it.
I think it'll be ESP first, Mackay second, and Heather McLean getting that third spot.
The Boston sweep.
That would be crazy.
That'd be exciting,
happened.
Huh?
Yeah, it'd be pretty
sweet. Honestly, can you get bonus points if that happens?
Yeah. I think we just get you get bonus points if you pick all three in the right order.
That makes sense. All right, on to the men's 1500.
Number one.
The bread and butter.
Number one, Yared Nuguse.
big surprise.
Number two. Hobbs Kessler. Number three, Josh Kerr. Number three, Cole Hawker.
Same three I have in a different order, though.
Not the same three I have. Wait, you go.
Yeah, because mine's easy. I just have Yared, Cole, and then Hobbs. And I was really tossing up. I was this was hard. It was hard, even though like the three is such a straight shooting three, like so obvious. That was hard for me to pick that.
Well,
three.
Just the order is going to be hard because you just don't know what's going to happen.
And also, things generally don't happen as you expect, as they appear.
Yeah,
and as you guys say that, I'm going to shock pick, and this is not personal, mostly because I assumed you guys would pick that order. I'm going Cole, Yared, Cooper.
I cannot believe you did that.
You did what?
I cannot believe you.
I think there's no chance. They beat Yared at the Olympics, but...
I cannot believe you've done this.
Interesting stance, George.
I think the Olympics is more important.
Considering that Yared hasn't been beaten by American in a very long time, it's an interesting pick.
No, but it is going to be hard because those guys are
so good. I like interesting picks.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad pick. I'm saying it's an interesting pick.
Yeah.
I still back Yarra because the dude has run 3:43. So
yeah, but
even in a tactical race, he's always proven himself too. But we'll see.
I think as George is alluding to, I think the men's 15 is going to be very, very interesting because we've seen in many men's 15s, the fastest person doesn't necessarily win, especially when that fastest person expects to go to the front and do some leading, which I think Yarra does.
Mm.
So it's going to be an amazing race.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, great pick, though. Upset.
Upset.
So I couldn't not pick Yarra at first, though. That was the thing. You know, I just like felt like I had to.
But I also think if I want to do well in this, I should pick Yarra first because it's just out of all the picks, it's one of the most.
It's definitely not a
not a bad pick.
Not a bad pick.
It's a solid pick. It's a solid pick. All right, women's 5K. Number one is ESP coming back.
Yep,
she's definitely coming back. She's definitely doing the 5K. There's no like, oh, I made the 15 team. I'm going to scratch.
Well, the 5K is first. No.
Yeah, we don't know.
Oh, the 5K is first.
She could easily.
Okay, I'm not going to change.
Well, she could easily ESP, not do the 15.
The 1500 is at the end.
ESP first, Cranny second, and then Josette Norris third.
That's the exact same picks I have.
I have the exact same. We finally have one the same.
Wait,
I have ESP Elise.
I was going to put Elise first, but because I wasn't sure. Like, I wasn't sure the order of the 5K 1500. I wasn't sure if it was the men's or the women's that was.
Wait, does it work at these championships that if you've entered and you scratch your first event,
you scratch everything else?
You scratch everything.
I think that's why people are very selective with what they pick.
Good to know.
But I'm not 100% sure on that.
Men's five.
Oh, God. Joe Klecker, number one. No, the men's 5K honestly is up the air, but I'm going to stay safe and pick Grant Fisher, number one. Number two, Abdi. Number three, Nico.
I have very similar picks.
I have the same top two. I have Grant, Abdi, Cooper.
I have the same picks as you.
Oh, Cooper. I forgot about Cooper.
Yeah, I have Cooper coming third.
Although Nico, I think, is going to rally. He's going to have like a Mike Smith therapy session after NCAAs, and he's just going to crush it.
I think he might not run.
I think he's... I don't know. Who knows what happened? I did pick him for the 10K.
If he doesn't run, can I have another pick? Or is
no.
That, that's it?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I guess that's what you got to consider.
Mm. That's all right.
Steeple or 10K?
Let's go 10K.
George's favorite event. Women's.
Mm-hmm.
Elise Cranny.
I don't think she's doing it.
That's a great pick.
Fuck. Who's qualified in the women's 10K?
That's part of the research.
Yeah.
Always being tested right now.
I guess Winnie Kaladi was going to be my second pick, so she'll move up to my first pick. And then my second pick, I guess second, Parker Valby. Third, Natasha Rogers. Is she doing it?
Yeah.
She's a baller, man. She always medals, so I might put her there, number three.
She made the last two teams, I think.
Yeah.
Same top two. Wayne, Parker, and I have Ellie Hinnis.
Mm. Oh, flag stuff.
Just a Mike Smith pick.
Is she with Mike Smith?
Not officially.
I've heard otherwise, but...
Not officially. I'm similar but different. I have Parker winning.
Really?
Wayne coming second, and then Carissa Schweizer coming third.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like she will make it.
Yeah, I think. And, you know, I mean, she's been kind of quiet, but she's just had a good race in Portland. I think she's ready for the 10K. All right. What do we got now? Men's 10K.
Men's 10K. Is Grant doing the 10?
Yep.
I put Grant number one. And then I'll do... is Abdi doing the 10K?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, surely not.
Not telling.
I'm giving away too much.
Yeah. Is...
The 10K has been touted as a four-man race, if that's a hint.
I know... Can I put number three as Woody?
You can.
And then Chelimo second, maybe. I was going to put Chelimo or Nico, but I wasn't sure if Nico was running the 10K.
So which one are you going with?
I'm
going
to go with Chelimo.
You're going Grant, Chelimo, Woody?
Yeah.
Right. I'm going Grant, Nico, Woody.
That's exactly what I have as well. Yeah. I think Nico's going to be strong in the 10K.
Yeah. All right. Well, when he runs 12:40 in the 5K, I'm going to be like,
you're
going to
be very, very vindicated.
Yeah.
Final event, women's Women's steeple?
See, the women's steeple I have locked down, but the men's steeple I'm going to be shocking at because I don't know anyone in the men's steeple besides a few people. So women's steeple, Courtney Wayman, Pavement, Chrissy Gear, number two, and then number three, I'd love to see Valerie because she's had a very hard road back to it and it'd be cool to see her run well. And I think she made the team, so yeah, that's my picks.
George?
I've put my teammate in there.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, Olivia. Val? Olivia. I still stand by my things.
I've gone Val for the win, actually. And then a double on podium, Pavement, and then Olivia.
I have the same top three. And now that I'm really thinking that I should have included Chrissy Gear in this. I'm really thinking that I should have. But I'm going to stick with what I have written down, which is Olivia winning, Val second, and Courtney coming third.
I'm happy with my picks, even though my teammates are in it. Sorry, Olivia.
Yeah, no.
Next time.
I mean, it's gonna be an amazing race, I think.
I mean,
yeah, they're all a very similar level, unlike previous years. Yeah. I feel like
this is where I'm gonna really struggle.
Yeah, final event. Final. Men's steeple.
I'm really gonna struggle. Number one, George Beamish. Yeah. Hillary Ball, number one.
Solid pick.
Second place. Kenneth Rooks? Is that how you say his name? It's number three, Aaron Yeager.
that's a fun pick.
Just because I would love to see him make the team, but it's probably not going to be a good pick. But
I forgot who I picked there.
Aaron Yeager.
It's kind of funny now. Look at it. I've gone Kenneth defending his title, Hillary, and then I've gone Big Bird. Making the team again.
Oh,
that'd be sick.
Olympics. Be
sick. Has he got the standard?
I don't know.
No one. Not many of them do.
Only Hillary, right?
Only Hillary. Yeah. And Anthony Rotich.
Fair. I have same top two. I have Kenneth winning, Hillary Ball coming second, and then I have Matthew Wilkinson. Mm.
I almost picked
Minnesota
him.
Minnesota represent.
I almost picked him.
Third.
Yeah, he wears socks. Like long socks.
Respect.
It's funny.
I like that a lot.
You don't like long socks, do you, George?
That was a lot of fun.
George doesn't like long socks.
Doesn't like him. So those are our picks. Would love to see what you guys think about them.
I'm surprised Josh Kerr didn't end up in your guys' 1500 picks, but you know, I guess we're not backing him anymore.
I wish I picked more upsets, more shock picks.
We didn't pick too many upsets, I don't think. But it's.
I thought Ollie was going to take Eric Holden in the 15.
I took Eric Holt in the 800.
I like that even more.
Yeah, that's even more of an
that's even, that's you know even, why? That's even you know better. Why I stand by that? It's because he fucking trains like an 800 guy, and I reckon it's going to show.
Yeah.
His 1500 strength through three rounds of the 8, I think he could be onto something.
Is the 15 first or the 8 first?
15.
Fuck.
He's going to be have to run 6 races.
It's Eric, done. Eric, come on, do it for me.
Yeah. Lopez Lamong did it.
I love it.
Did he make... No, I think he didn't make the 15, and then he came back and made the 8.
Really?
In his 6th race.
Amazing.
It's doable.
Well, we hope that you guys are as excited as we are for all this USA's track action. I mean, it is a long 12 days in the end, but I think it's going to be some amazing races as it always is. And definitely, even though our picks didn't really represent it, there's surely going to be some big upsets and some big performances from people that we didn't really mention. So those are always so fun to see. But yeah, with that, I think that's it for episode 142. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.